Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really tearing into a huge financial question for senior homeowners. How do you actually use the equity you've built up in your home for decades without having to sell it?
Yeah, it's a big one.
We know you want the straight scoop, the good, the bad, and maybe the stuff that's not always obvious about the two main ways to do this.
And, you know, this hits particularly hard in places like Suffolk County, right here on Long Island. We looked at the numbers, and home values there are just consistently way above the national average.
There's serious equity sitting there.
Serious equity. But often folks need it now, maybe for property taxes that keep climbing or, you know, sudden health care bills or just making ends meet when fixed incomes don't stretch as far.
Right. So if you're a senior in Suffolk looking for that cash, you're basically looking at two main contenders. First, the reverse mortgage, specifically the government-backed HECM, the home equity conversion mortgage.
And second, the more traditional home equity line of credit, the HELOC, familiar to many.
Okay. Our mission today, it's not just defining these. We want to really compare how they work, what they really cost up front and over time, and crucially, how they affect your finances down the road,
sure.
Maybe even what you leave behind.
Exactly. We want you to get a feel for which one actually aligns with your retirement goals. Is it about easing monthly cash flow pressure, or is it maybe more about keeping as much home value as possible for your kids?
Okay, let's unpack the HECM first. The reverse mortgage. Now, this is specifically for homeowners who are 62 or older.
Mm.
And it basically lets you turn some of that home equity into cash.
Right. But the absolute killer feature, the thing everyone talks about, is this. No required monthly mortgage payments. None. Principal or interest.
While you're living in the home, correct?
While you're living there as your primary residence. That's key. The whole loan balance, plus the interest and fees that add up, you don't have to pay that back month by month.
So when's it head back?
It gets deferred.
Mm-hmm.
The repayment only happens when the last borrower permanently moves out, maybe sells the house, or passes away. That's when the loan becomes due.
Okay, that sounds, well, it sounds pretty appealing if you're worried about monthly bills.
Yeah.
But how does that work financially for the lender? If payments are deferred for years, maybe decades, where's the security? How does interest work?
That's where the costs come in. And they are very different from a regular mortgage or a HELOC. Yes, interest accrues on the balance over time. But the big piece, the mechanism that protects both the lender and you, is something called mortgage insurance premium, or MIP.
MIP, okay.
You pay a chunk of it up front when you get the loan, and then there's an annual premium added to the loan balance each year. It's not cheap.
So this MIP, it's more than just a fee. It's like insurance on the loan itself.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it. The MIP is what buys you the most important protection of a HECM. It makes the loan non-recourse.
Non-recourse. What does that mean in plain English?
It means that no matter how much the loan balance grows over time with all that accrued interest and MIP, or your heirs, will never owe more than the home is worth when it's eventually sold to repay the debt.
Ah, okay. So if the housing market tanks, or you live there for a very long time and the interest really racks up, you're protected. The debt can't exceed the home's value at sale time.
Correct. The house itself is the maximum repayment required. That's a huge safety net, especially given market volatility.
Makes sense. Now, eligibility, besides being 62 plus head, you need enough equity, obviously. But there's also this mandatory counseling from HUD.
Yes, absolutely mandatory. You have to sit down with a HUD-approved counselor before you can even apply. They go through the pros, the cons, your obligations. It really underscores that this is a complex decision, a serious commitment.
And I imagine that counseling adds to the timeline. This isn't something you get overnight if you need cash fast.
Oh, definitely not. Between the counseling requirement, gathering all the documents, the appraisal, you're typically looking at, say, 6 weeks, maybe more, from start to finish. It's not designed for emergencies.
Good. And what about the risks? Even with no mortgage payment, there are still things you absolutely must pay, right?
This is critical, critically important. The biggest risk, the thing that can actually lead to foreclosure, even with a reverse mortgage, especially in high-cost areas like Suffolk, it's failing to keep up with three key things.
Which are?
Property taxes, homeowners insurance, and just generally maintaining the home in decent condition. You have to pay those bills. Even if you're getting monthly payments from the HECM, you still have to budget for taxes and insurance. Miss those, and you could lose the house.
Okay, let's flip the coin now and talk about the HELOC, the home equity line of credit. Now, if the HECM felt kind of complex, the HELOC seems, well, Simpler on the surface, more familiar.
It generally is. Think of it like a credit card, but one that's secured by the equity in your home, and usually with a much lower interest rate than a regular credit card because of that security.
Right. It's a revolving line of credit.
Exactly. And it usually works in two distinct phases. First, there's a draw period, often maybe 10 years. During this time, you can borrow money as you need it up to your approved credit limit.
And you typically only pay interest on what you've actually borrowed during that draw period.
That's common, yes. Interest-only payments on the outstanding balance, which keeps the initial payments relatively low and manageable. That's part of the appeal flexibility. Need funds for a roof repair? Draw them. Pay interest. Maybe pay some principal back if you want.
Sounds flexible for unexpected costs or projects. You only borrow and pay for what you use when you use it.
Correct. But, and this is a big, but for seniors especially, that draw period eventually ends.
Ah.
And then you enter the repayment period. This could be another 10, 15, 20 years. And during this period, you absolutely must start paying back not just the interest, but the principal amount you borrowed too.
Okay, so hold on. Let's say you're on a fixed income. You've been comfortably making interest-only payments for 10 years. Then suddenly, bam, the repayment period starts, and your required monthly payment could jump significantly, like double or even more.
It certainly could. That's often called payment shock, and it's a very real risk that needs careful planning. Unlike the HECM, where payment is deferred entirely, the AELOC demands ongoing repayment capability.
Which implies the eligibility requirements are different, too. It's not just about age and equity like the HECM.
Right. For a HELOC, lenders look closely at your credit score, usually needing something decent, maybe 620 or higher. But crucially, they also need to see verifiable income, proof that you can handle those mandatory payments, especially the higher principal and interest payments during the repayment phase.
That income verification, that could be a hurdle for seniors relying mainly on Social Security or pensions, couldn't it?
Mm.
Compared to the HECM just needing you to be 62 plus debt.
It absolutely can be. Lenders need confidence you can service the debt long term. And there's another layer of risk, too. Interest rates.
Variable rates.
Most ELOCs have variable interest rates tied to a benchmark like the prime rate. So if interest rates go up generally, like they have recently, your monthly HELOC payment can increase, sometimes substantially, even during the draw period. That adds uncertainty.
So you're exposed to market fluctuations in a way you aren't with the HECM once its rate is set.
Generally, yes. The HECM rate is usually fixed for life on lump sum draws, or adjusts predictably on lines of credit, but the payment itself is deferred. With a HECME, rate changes directly impact your required monthly cash outflow.
Okay, so we've got these two options. HECM, no monthly payments, but high upfront costs, accruing debt, and strict obligations. Flexibility, lower upfront costs, but mandatory payments, variable rates, and that potential payment shock. Let's put them head-to-head on the key trade-offs people need to weigh.
Absolutely. Let's start with the most obvious one, monthly cash flow. This is where they fundamentally differ. The HECM is designed to improve your immediate cash flow by eliminating that mortgage payment burden. It frees up money month to month,
giving you stability, predictability in your budget.
Right. The ELOC, on the other hand, creates a new monthly payment obligation. Even if it's interest only at first, it's still a bill you have to pay. And it carries that risk of increasing over time, plus the eventual jump when principal repayment starts.
So HECM wins on monthly payment relief. HELOC requires ongoing payment discipline. What about those upfront costs? The HECM sounds expensive to set up with that MIP and origination fees.
It is. Significantly more expensive upfront than a typical HELOC. You might pay thousands in fees for HECM. But what you're essentially buying with those high fees, especially the MIP, is that non-recourse protection.
You're paying a premium for the guarantee that the debt won't exceed the home's value. And for the payment deferral itself.
Exactly. You're trading upfront costs for long-term payment relief and downside protection against market crashes. It's an insurance policy in a way.
Whereas the HELOC usually has much lower setup fees, maybe just an appraisal, some title work.
Yeah.
Cheaper to get into.
Generally, yes. Much cheaper initially. But the trade-off there is the long-term interest rate risk. Over 20 or 30 years of retirement, rising variable rates on an ELOC could potentially end up costing you more in total interest than the HECM's upfront fees. You're taking on rate risk instead of paying the upfront premium.
And what about just getting the money? Speed. If you need cash, like yesterday.
ELOCity wins hands down there. Because of the mandatory counseling and more complex underwriting for the HECM, it just takes longer. ELOC is often much quicker, maybe closing in, say, 3 to 4 months sometimes. HECM, you're likely looking at 6 weeks plus.
Okay, speed favors the HELOC. Now, The really big one for many families, especially in a place like Suffolk where homes are valuable assets, leaving something for the kids. Estate goals. How do these impact inheritance?
This is probably the starkest contrast, and it gets right to the heart of the decision. With a reverse mortgage, because you're not making payments and interest is constantly accruing, the loan balance grows over time, often quite significantly.
Eating into the home's equity.
Precisely. The longer you live in the home with HECM, the larger the loan balance becomes, and therefore the less equity is left over for your heirs when the home is eventually sold. You're essentially spending down the equity for your own current needs and financial security.
Okay. And the HELOC?
With the HELOC, because you are required to make payments, including principal eventually, you have more control over the equity. If you borrow, say, $50,000 for a project and then pay it back over 5 years, the impact on your long-term equity is much smaller.
So if maximizing the inheritance, leaving the house with as much value as possible, is the top priority.
Then a HELOC, managed carefully and paid down diligently, generally preserves more equity for heirs. The HECM prioritizes the homeowner's current cash flow and longevity in the home, often at the expense of future inheritance value. It's a direct trade-off.
All right, let's make this concrete. People listening in Suffolk County, maybe trying to picture themselves. Let's run through a couple of scenarios.
Good idea. Okay, scenario one. Let's call it the longevity plan. Imagine someone, say, 75 years old. They absolutely plan to stay in their Huntington home for the rest of their life. Their main goal is supplementing Social Security to cover rising costs, especially those property taxes, and they really want predictable income without a new monthly bill.
Okay, wants to stay put, needs a reliable income boost, hates new bills. Sounds like a classic case for.
The reverse mortgage, the HECM. The elimination of monthly payments provides exactly that cash flow relief and predictability they need. The longer they live there, the more valuable that payment deferral becomes. Yes, the equity decreases over time, but their primary goal, staying comfortably in their home long term, is met.
Makes sense. Okay, scenario two, the emergency fund. Think about someone maybe a bit younger, say 65. Financially pretty stable day to day, but knows the roof needs replacing soon. Maybe the HVAC system is on its last legs. They need access to, let's say, $80,000 for these specific, relatively short-term capital projects. They plan to pay it back over maybe 5-7 years from savings or an upcoming annuity.
Right. Needs flexibility, specific amount, short to medium term use, intends to repay relatively quickly.
That definitely sounds like a job for the HELOC.
Absolutely. The HELOC is perfect here. They draw only what's needed for the repairs, the upfront costs are low, and they can aggressively pay it back to minimize interest costs and preserve their home equity for the long run. It acts like a financial tool for specific needs, not an ongoing income supplement.
So the purpose and the timeline seem crucial in deciding.
Hugely important. But regardless of which path seems better on paper for either scenario, we have to circle back to that one critical risk for both. Especially living somewhere with high property taxes like Suffolk County.
The obligation to pay taxes and insurance.
Yes. Even with the HECM's non-recourse feature protecting against market decline, nothing protects you if you fail to pay your property taxes or keep homeowners insurance current. That is the primary trigger for default and potential foreclosure for both HECMs and ELO polluters.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it? You get a loan to ease financial pressure, but if you can't manage that specific, often quite large local tax bill, you could still lose the house anyway.
It's the harsh reality. Those ongoing carrying costs, taxes, insurance, basic upkeep, they are non-negotiable. You absolutely have to budget for them no matter which loan you choose. Hashtag outro.
Wow, okay. That really clarifies the landscape. So the quick summary. Reverse mortgage, HECM, is primarily about long-term cash flow relief, staying put indefinitely, accepting higher upfront costs and equity reduction for payment peace of mind.
Right. And the HELOC is more about flexibility, accessing funds for shorter term or specific needs, keeping upfront costs lower, but requiring the discipline and ability to handle mandatory, potentially variable monthly payments, preserving more equity if managed well.
So the best choice isn't really about the product itself, is it?
Not at all. It's entirely about which structure, which set of benefits and risks aligns best with your specific financial situation, your health, how long you realistically expect to be in the home, your feelings about inheritance, and frankly, your tolerance for mandatory monthly bills versus accruing debt.
Which leads us perfectly into our final thought for you today, something to really chew on. Given that a HESO offers that guaranteed cash flow relief, but requires meticulous handling of those hefty Suffolk County property taxes to avoid immediate disaster.
While a HELOC demands constant payment discipline and exposes you to interest rate hikes, but gives you more control over equity.
Here's the question. In today's unpredictable retirement landscape, which risk is ultimately more manageable for you? The risk of accruing unseen debt that eats equity but frees up monthly cash? Or the risk of mandatory, potentially rising payments that demand constant income?
Something to think about.
Definitely something to think about. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.